Talking Art on WVIK is sponsored by Quad City Bank and Trust, helping the local community with their banking and financial needs for more than 20 years. Information is at qcbt.com. Support for Talking Art also comes from the estate of Margaret Skinner, a longtime friend of WVIK and lover of the arts.
This is Carolyn Martin, and I'm talking art today with Nate Lawrence, Executive Director of Polyrhythms, a nonprofit grassroots community arts organization here in the Quad Cities. You've been described as a dreamer, closet historian, and art activist, and I'm happy that we had the chance to talk today. Welcome, Nate.
Well, thank you.
Of the many culture experiences that Polyrhythms provides, the most visible probably is your popular Third Sunday Jazz series at the River Music Experience. This is a monthly jazz performance that you organize, which is fantastic. Explain to the listener what happens there.
We're primarily interested in education, and so our workshops are really kind of like our premium process, but the concerts are always a bonus, you know. So, but really, our focus is really on the education part, and that generally involves the kids.
Mm-hmm. I've just been to the concerts. The concerts are incredible. The workshops, though, do precede the show the third Sunday of each month, and the workshops start at 3 o'clock, and they're free to children.
They're free to kids, and they're really 8 to 80 kind of programs, and they're really shaped around who's there, mm-hmm. you know, so it's not like they're obligated to be there, but we generally mind churches. And so a lot of those kids in choirs and that kind of thing. And we try to generate interest among community institutions.
Yeah. That educational component is really extraordinary. And that's with the group that plays that same night. So every group that comes and plays for Polyrhythms for this third Sunday jazz, they know that teaching is a necessary and required component of their visit.
Absolutely. If their people say that they can't do the workshop, then they won't play for us.
Uh-huh. The concerts are amazing. The doors open at 5:30. The concert's from 6 to 8. You've had a variety of tremendous performers there.
Yeah, our goal is to provide high-level entertainment at a reasonable cost. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of a blessing and a curse.
Mainly a blessing.
Mainly a blessing, but yeah.
This coming Sunday, January 21st, there is a performance called Kindred Spirits featuring Father Stan Fortuna on bass and vocals, as well as Manuel Lopez III on drums.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting because one of the things that, yeah, we can bring people in all the time, or people from this city and that city and this level and that level. But, you know, we don't compromise on content. So that's really just kind of a promise that we make to ourselves. But we're also responsible for to provide an opportunity for local musicians to perform with mm-hmm. other people, with great people. So.
Right, and that's a perfect collaboration because Manuel Lopez III is from the Quad Cities.
Right.
Father Stan Fortuna has an interesting history. He is a Roman Catholic priest, actually, from New York City.
Yeah, and he's a Franciscan friar, mm-hmm. and which are really community-oriented people. And that's really what we consider ourselves to be, you know, community oriented people that are interested in community development. Mm-hmm. We see the arts as part of it.
Mm-hmm. You had on your website that while studying to enter the priesthood, he worked in Spanish Harlem and encountered hip hop in the street and was captivated by its improvisational nature.
Right. He's really just a most interesting person. This is the second time that we've had him. And the first time, you know, he was just getting back from the Middle East and from Albania and from, you know, he gets around the world. So he's a much desired and sought after speaker and person to come and share his notions of what humanitarianism is.
Yeah, you bet. I'd never really thought about hip hop and jazz having that connection of being improvisational, but that's definitely the case.
All of those things are definitely related, and they're branches of the same tree. So the roots of jazz and blues and gospel are, it's really the same tree and just different limbs.
Mm-hmm. You're the organizer behind the annual Jazz and Heritage Festival held in August each year, and it allows you to do other genres and to showcase other types of music.
Yeah, that's exciting. Because the consensus is that jazz is complicated and all those kinds of things, but it's like learning a foreign language. You know, if you don't learn the language, you know, then you can't talk about it. But mm-hmm. but it's really a lot simpler than it seems. The thing that it does inspire is listening, you know, which is something that we've all forgotten how to do. Mm-hmm. So listening is just one of the things that we try to get people to understand. And there's a scale. And it's called the pentatonic scale. You know, the regular scale is an eight-note scale, but the pentatonic scale is a five-note scale. And interestingly enough, the pentatonic scale is what made Motown. The pentatonic scale is what blues is based on. The pentatonic scale is what jazz is based on. And interestingly enough, you know, there are places in South America, the Caribbean, they all use the pentatonic scale as opposed to the contemporary European scale. Mm-hmm.
So if somebody goes to that Jazz and Heritage Festival held in August, you'll be able to hear a variety of types of music besides jazz that may use scales like you were describing. You play gospel, rhythm and blues, fusion, and some smooth jazz.
Right. My Girl. You know My Girl? My Girl?
Uh-huh.
Okay. My Girl.
I don't want to sing it because okay. I have a terrible voice.
but the first five notes of My Girl are the pentatonic scale. You know, it's just dum, 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 dum. That's the pentatonic scale. And you'll hear it everywhere. And I say My Girl because that's where it's really prominent. So I say that to say that, again, the same tree, different limbs, you know, that's just a very, very pertinent example mm-hmm. of
But it unifies these different varieties of music. You were born in the Watertown neighborhood of East Moline and have been active in trying to revitalize that community. You've said that the core and source of that community's pride was music, and listeners may be interested in hearing about the surprising number of jazz musicians that came from the Watertown area, starting in the 1940s and 1950s.
Yeah, we have a terrific history. Of course, Bill Bell is our champion,
and describe for the listeners who Bill Bell was.
Bill Bell was he was a member of the Watertown community. He played for Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church. And he was a piano player, as was his mother, and his cousin, who was head of the music department, his cousin, Mally Williams. He was head of the music department at UT.
And then he came on really to do, and he progressed to do amazing things. He taught at UC Berkeley. He taught at Stanford.
Oh, yes. And he was actually Mr. Personality at Augustana when he was
at Augustana. Right. And he was really nicknamed the jazz professor.
He was named the jazz professor, and he was one of those people that was always eager to come and share with his community.
Uh-huh. So, and it's just incredible, really, that he came from here, from the same neighborhood where you were from.
Right.
As did really your uncle, Donald Mead, it sounds like, kind of launched you down this path towards jazz and music in general.
Yeah, he was a historian, and he worked at John Deere. He was kind of into, I don't know what he was into. He worked.
But he was a fabulous drummer.
He was a fabulous drummer and had a fantastic amount of knowledge about music and what contributed to sounds.
Mm-hmm. Your uncle, after he left this community, he lived outside Chicago and played there and really was responsible for introducing you to a variety of jazz luminaries.
Right. You know, he had a birthday party for Oscar Peterson. Oscar Peterson did 2 weeks in Chicago at the London House, and one of them was his birthday week. And so there would be this party at Donald's, and Donald and Louise, and there would be all of these people like Ella Fitzgerald or Dizzy Gillespie or Paul Sereno.
At your uncle's birthday party.
At the party. Right. The party was Oscar Peterson. And his wife was a great cook. So all these guys, all these musicians would come and they would just kind of hang out. And
you were fortunate enough when you were a younger man to attend some of those.
Yeah, and that's why I learned how to not be a groupie. you know, and to learn that, that people were people and that they had interesting lives.
Well, those connections that you made, you said way back when, helps you currently to identify and help secure groups to play at the jazz series here on the third Sundays at River Music Experience.
Well, what I found in dealing with musicians is that they're very eager to pass it on. They're very eager to encourage other people to be a part of it. Pat Patrick was another guy that was from the community.
From Watertown.
Right. Mm-hmm. And actually he's the father of Deval Patrick, who was the governor of Massachusetts.
Huh.
So
yeah, there's really so much in our community that people need to hear about. And I have thought, talking to you, that hearing about Watertown is really fascinating.
Yeah. This is a working town. Mm-hmm. You know, but when we were the farm implement capital of the world, you know, it's about work. And so people were here because of the jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so yeah, that the community provided that, but as did Rock Island, Francis Clay and those folks. They were
right. Francis Payton. Clay, you told me, and I was happy to hear this, coming from Rock Island, was the drummer for Muddy Waters.
Right. He was the drummer for Muddy Waters. He was the person that taught Muddy Waters to have a song list, a set list.
All from the Quad Cities.
Right. Yeah.
Who would have known?
Right.
Well, you are a great historian. I think you would share a lot in common with your uncle, who you said was a music historian. And you enjoy telling tales and just the oral tradition of storytelling, which you really embrace through both words and song. And I find that fascinating.
Yeah, I think that stories are... Stories, they contain our history. You know, a lot of people ascribe that to folkways and whatnot, but that doesn't make it any less accurate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're really the mirrors to society that we look for in art, we look for in other ways.
The stories.
Stories.
Yeah. There was this term that you threw out when we were talking called griot. I hadn't heard of that before, but it's really amazing. You had said the griot emerged from West African traditions as a storyteller, historian, chronicler, and keeper of the timeline.
Right.
Yeah.
And he expressed it through music, through stories. I mean, it's, you know... It's communications. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, you seem like a griot to me.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. What is the most difficult thing about your community organizing and running a nonprofit? Because I'm sure that between the Third Sunday Jazz and also the Jazz and Heritage Festival, it has quite a few challenges.
Well, like any arts purveyor, you know, it's... two things. First of all, it's a chore to get people to see the value,
mm-hmm.
And that being the case, then that means it's a chore. If they don't see the value, then they don't want to fund it. Mm-hmm. But you know, in every great civilization, the arts have always been subsidized. You know, so we're always looking to find funding.
Right.
You know, because to have what we have, great musicians. At low cost.
Right. Their tickets are $10.
Right.
Right. So the cost of admission does not even come close to paying for the cost of bringing this caliber of musicians here. So you do have some corporate sponsors and you have grants that help underwrite the cost.
And we need more.
Yeah. Always. Always. Sadly. There's also a great community that's kind of come together and pulls together to enable something like this to happen. I thought it was really fun to hear about Coleman Harris. He's a local jazz pianist. He donated his Steinway piano last year or the year before.
Yeah, last year.
Yeah. And then it was restored in Walker, Iowa, which isn't too far, I think, from Cedar Rapids, maybe.
Right.
And then to celebrate that, you held a series of four jazz concerts that featured a jazz pianist playing on this beautiful Steinway piano.
Yeah, it's been fun, and it's been one of those kind of solidifying, gratifying kind of experiences. Of course, you know, it's not always when it comes time to pay bills, you know, it has a different take, but
a little stressful. Well, we don't see that. We just hear the beautiful music.
Right.
Well, Nate Lawrence, thank you so much for your passion and providing our community with high-caliber monthly jazz performances. For those listeners who've not attended a concert yet, I would encourage you to check out one of the third Sunday jazz performances held each month at River Music Experience. The very next one is coming up soon on Sunday, January 21st, where you can hear Father Stan Fortuna and Manuel Lopez III playing together. The schedule can be accessed through River Music Experience's website. Tables can be reserved in advance, or tickets can be purchased at the door. Doors open at 5:30 p.m., and all concerts are from 6 to 8 p.m.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming. This has been Carolyn Martin, talking art in the Quad Cities for WVIK. Theme music is provided by a Quad City legend, the late Ellis Kell.